I now call the meeting of the Aperture Detective Club to order. My name. Oh, it's the Ditch Digger.
Woo. I don't know. Hey, what's up? It's me, Tristan. I dig ditches. I don't know about no ditch digging, but I do know about a thing or two.
Ooh.
It's me. This is Samuel Clemens, no relation. The brother of the ditch digger.
Oh, yes, he's my.
I'm sorry. Remember myself. Like, hey, this is Tristan Miller. How you doing?
If anyone's still here, I'm Melissa Maley, the saucy. Nope, you're the what?
Yeah, no, Maley, no, no, spy. No. You're the saucy live today. I'll be the spy. No, wait. I'll be a Captain Acab, and then Tyler, you can be the spy. I'll be Tyler today.
Today we're gonna talk about what happened.
You know, so, sometimes you know you feel a creative impulse and you want to go for it, and then sometimes you know it's a big turd. You know, it's fine.
This has been like a recurring bit, like that. This opening goes off the rails, but today has taken the.
Listen, I'm trying to zhuzh up the opening. I'm trying to get some high energy opening here today.
Did you
serving Mel Brooks high anxiety instead?
Yeah. Oh, did you think we were low energy?
No, I just wanted to start it off with a bang, and then that's what came out of my mouth.
No,
I was like, "Who is this guy?" You never do a voice, and you're like, who is this?"
Well, I am not one to talk. Thinking back to pre-pandemic episodes.
Oh,
so, touche.
I mean, sometimes you talk like this, and you're like, "Who is this guy?" I'm a little frog from France. You know, like, you know. Stuff like that. You just kind of make a little guy. I don't know. Yeah,
make a little guy.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Sure, yeah. So I guess that was our intro. You can follow us on social media, Instagram at ADC Pod.
Facebook, ADC Pod.
Yep.
Facebook group too, if you want to join that.
And if you do want to join that, just let it be known that we are not the place to get your private investigator license, or we have no resources for that. We're here to talk about TV shows.
We do support you and your dreams.
yes.
However, we do. Like we are not equipped to, as Melissa said, we are not a resource. We will make jokes, but no, we won't. We won't make jokes about crime. We won't make jokes about real crime.
Not
that's
real
not
crime,
the podcast
no.
for that.
No,
no, no. If you like dumb bits like the one you heard at the beginning of this episode, from me and others, you can check out our Patreon. There's a bunch of clips that were too stupid for the main feed that I put behind the paywall. I was like, hey, you want this good shit? Oh no, you have to pay us $1 for it a month.
You have to pay us $1 a month if you want to hear us be more stupid.
It's true. A lot of it's pretty funny, I must say. But there's like long clips there of like sometimes 10-15 minutes of us just jabberjawing about nothing related to like Poirot, and I was like, I can't in good consciousness keep this in the episode.
I think I might need to resubscribe to it. Like, what clips are you allowing to go through to people? I don't
be surprised. Tyler's got some hot takes that, you know, you might want to be privy to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
No,
is it my takedown of the Irishman?
A clip that comes to mind is we talked about, like, what celebrity you would have as a themed birthday party. Do you remember talking about that?
No.
Okay.
I do remember us talking about what coffee Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost would drink. Is that right? Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
That's available on YouTube.
Was that stemmed from a Hebrew joke?
I don't think so, but I think you did make that joke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the clip. We also another clip that's up. You know, if you want to, that's a great segue, Melissa. ADC Pod, youtube.com/ADC Pod. There's two clips there. There's Coffee and Christ, which is what Melissa's referring to. And then there's also Snake Talk, where we talk about snakes. And I talk about toilet snakes for like 3 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
But oh, like, okay. Now that we went on that tangent talking about our tangents.
And the grave diggers back.
So sorry.
Okay. Yes. So are we just, what are we doing?
Having a bit of a laugh, aren't I? I'm just having a bit of a laugh.
What is this?
A cheeky Diet Dr. Pepper, aren't I? You know?
Yeah, you just are.
Have a bit of a laugh, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So season 2, episode 7.
Seven.
Flipping the pieces.
Flipping the pieces. So we get at the top a Mabel voiceover talking about how her dad loved puzzles. We got a little preview of this when she told Alice about the 1,000-piece puzzle her dad gave her once, and she loved putting it together. So she is doing puzzles with her dad. Her dad is not living with her full time. It's seems like there's been a separation of her parents for some reason.
Boy,
my mother is a puzzler.
Yeah.
Like, she loves a puzzle and loves trying to convince us to do puzzles with her.
I love a puzzle too. Oh.
God bless people who do. I mean, it is something to pass the time. It does give people enjoyment. But stop trying to convince others. Just let me be.
Yeah, I love a puzzle.
Oh, I do too. Yes, I did a lot of puzzles when I was sick.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually got a puzzle mat. It does not work like I was hoping it would.
It never does.
Puzzle mat?
Yeah, like you put the puzzle on a mat, so then you can transport the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you roll it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought like the puzzle pieces were a mat, and was like, how do you do that? Like the fabric. Okay.
Or it now. Initially, I was like, yeah, you're trying to confuse your friend Matt.
Yeah, or that.
You know, I know someone's actually my friend when I make a joke and they go, oh yeah. I'm like, okay. Your best work. It's no grave digger.
It's no grave digger, exactly.
Oh man, where'd he go?
Always a trap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's always here. He's always with us. Okay.
He's like a lizard man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he sounds a little bit like a Smeagol.
I guess. I wouldn't call Smeagol a lizard man.
No, I wouldn't, but I was making another comparison.
That's true. Kind of sounds like Gurgi. Do you remember Gurgi from Black? I swear.
Do woman, I ever, like, the Black Cauldron.
Talking about puzzles.
We're back in present day after the flashback with her dad, and Mabel she's in a dream state. This is a clear, woo, I'm waving my arms around.
Mind palace,
sure. That she's imagining, or dreaming, actually, because she's asleep, we find out later, that she's sitting in a room with a puzzle with the picture turned down, and she sees she's turning over some of the pieces, and she's Bunny's face or a couple of other things that are like the story of the last few days. She wakes up and she's in a strange bed in a very nice apartment, big open concept kind of deal, but we haven't seen this place before. Has the vibe of a man lives here, but he has okay taste.
You're not wrong.
But... Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So there's blood on the bed and she's trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. And she hears something. Theo walks in and she hits him with a lamp very badly, not knocking him out, just knocking him to the ground. So he signs to her that he's trying to help her and she doesn't understand ASL. And then he shows her the subway video and she doesn't recognize it. She says, is that me? Did I stab someone again? Credit sequence.
Mabel was making me so mad in the early aughts of this episode.
In the early aughts? Okay. Oh, yeah, sure. The time. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Just because, like, we get more of, like, her interaction with Theo, and it's very clear, and she makes it known that, like, she can't, she doesn't know ASL, but, like, she's also making no attempts to make sure that she is also being understood, and just is constantly just getting mad at him without taking any accountability. And it was just very frustrating. Like, I get, like, at the time, like, she's probably super frustrated and is trying to wrap her head around, like, what's going on. Like, she's waking up in, like, not a stranger's apartment, but, like, it's a strange environment for her, for sure, given their history. But at the same time, like, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, she is not showing empathy for the fact that he communicates differently with her than she does. And he is actually making quite a lot of attempts to correct that. So I definitely see what you're saying there. That was frustrating. Mm-hmm. So after the credits, we have Oliver and Charles looking for Mabel, but they can't find her, get in touch with her. They've called her, left her tons of voicemails. They have no idea where she is.
Very good line from Oliver where Charles goes, well, she's not responding to any of my texts. She says, what, text message interactions or something like that?
Text communications.
Thanks to text communications. And then Oliver goes, or me, which is crazy because we text all the time. The memes, Charles, the memes, which is very good.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that bit, I knew that was going to be a bit that you enjoyed.
Yeah, it was very good. I'll say this, Martin Short in this episode specifically, very funny. Mm-hmm. To me.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a knock on the door. This is Charles' apartment, and it's Detective Williams and her new very cute baby.
Yes, that's true.
There's a cute baby in this. New deputy. She corrects them.
That's right. Junior officer, I believe, is what she says.
Keith? I think it's Keith.
Yeah, Detective Keith.
Mm-hmm. So we go back, we're going back and forth between Charles Oliver and Detective Williams and Keith and Mabel and Theo, basically, in this episode is what we have. So yeah. Mabel is being snarky with Theo about his ankle monitor. Mm-hmm. And he keeps trying to sign to her and then writes, you really don't remember what happened. And she doesn't. He shows her a card that he carries in his wallet that says, hi, I'm Theo Demas. I am deaf. I use ASL to communicate, or I can write, you can write things to me. I can only understand about a third of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And she says, only a third? In movies, it feels like people get a lot more than that. He says, well, deaf people aren't really writing movies, are they? So
and here's this woke liberal agenda from the makers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the bag, Mabel realizes that the bag, her bag that she had the evidence in, the matchbook, is now missing. And Theo explains that he was on the same train as her. And we see a flashback to this sequence, which is very cool because he's writing to her. And so we see what he's writing overlaid with the scene that unfolded that she, from his perspective, basically. So he saw her interaction with Glitter Guy in the other car. Like, you know, it's like the car next to his. So he can kind of just see through the windows. And the Glitter Guy had attacked her. And then she took
like the train stopped.
Yes. So he attacked her. Yes. And she was in shock and he had taken her bag as he ran away. So she has blood. Mm-hmm. Yes. She has blood on her coat and the guy had glitter on him and Theo had recovered something that he dropped, which was a security badge from Coney Island. So She wants to go to Coney Island and look for him, or just something that'll jog her memory about him. And he offers to take her there, and she doesn't want to. She's, you know, you killed Zoe, you left Oscar to rot in jail for 10 years. But he says, that's not who I am. I really want to help. He's very earnest. So she relents. Meanwhile, Detective Williams wants to, yes.
Bring up another joke that Detective Williams says is both Charles and Oliver like are excited about the baby as its first arrive. And Detective Williams goes, yeah, that makes sense. You guys have so much in common because you both keep pissing yourselves every time I'm not around. Which is very good. Big ups to Detective Williams for bringing the funny on this particular episode and all episodes.
She wants to clear some stuff up with them. And she says she really doesn't believe that they did it. But if they're going to clear their names, they need to be completely honest. And they're clearly not being completely honest. They said it doesn't look good for Mabel because there have been two stabbings with knitting needles. So it does say that, imply that the subway guy was stabbed with a knitting needle. Oscar awkwardly says that he has to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, Oliver.
Right, because, Steve Martin? Charles?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Charles or Brazos, whatever you want to call him.
Chucky B.
pretty much invites Detective Williams to search any of their apartments because they won't find a shred of anything anywhere.
Yeah.
And then that's when Oliver is like, excuse me.
I believe is the noise he makes.
He makes all sorts of grunting noises from the bathroom.
Yeah. They also, the reason this came up is when they were like, she's like, there's been two stabbings with a knitting needle. And Charles is like, well, Bunny was stabbed with a knife, so there. And then they both realize, oh, we shouldn't know that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But yeah, so... Oliver excuses himself to the bathroom and is making all sorts of grunting noises. And the line I think that resonated with me the most was, won't you just open, you stupid passageway? Which is like, it's just enough where it is euphemistic enough where like it is very good and it's a dumb poop joke, but it's really, you know, honestly well executed, and I respect for it.
I don't typically love poop jokes, but that's good. I like that.
It was very well executed.
I disagree because I did not know that until now.
Oh.
I just thought he was being loud and dumb.
Well, here's the thing about it, Tyler. Both things are true.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I have to run to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Keep that in.
I will. I'm going to get some water.
Ad break.
So, as he's grunting, as Oliver is in the bathroom and grunting. Yes. And Charles says he has an unorthodox diet, which is
true
and great. And so he goes to check on him. They're opening the passageway together. And Oliver's trying to sneak into his apartment to get rid of the knife. Of course, this is all that he has not gotten rid of. And of course, all of this discussion is audible from the kitchen, the living room, where Detective Williams is sitting and listening to them and just rolling her eyes.
Yeah. There's a really sweet moment as to what Charles is like, why didn't you get rid of it? He goes, well, I was going to get rid of it in New Jersey, which is, of course, where you go to get rid of incriminating evidence. But then
which
I started
is
talking
some BS.
Hmm?
I said BS. I do not tolerate New Jersey slander, as we know on this podcast.
That's true. That's fair. I mean, it's not like The Sopranos was set there and it has a reputation, but you know, go off. Maybe also here's the other thing.
Okay, on both sides of the Hudson, there are reputations. That's all I'm saying.
That is true. They open the door again to the bathroom. They come out of the bathroom. There we go. That's the way to
they
say
come
that.
Out of the bathroom.
Yes. And Williams is standing there and she says, so you have the knife?
And Steve delivers this really great. He goes, knife. No. Which is really, really broad, very fun comedy. But it's very sweet that Oliver got distracted by his son's play. And that's why he didn't get rid of the knife.
That is sweet, yes. So meanwhile, in Coney Island, Mabel is looking for something incriminating. She doesn't know what, but she asks Theo, have you ever been here before? And he says no, that he has been, you know, he was grave robbing when he was a kid with his dad. So that's right.
It's its own fun, you know?
Yes, it is its own fun. Mabel's looking through papers in a security office.
Who needs to maintain?
They're back. They're back.
Oh, it's such a hardship when I come back and one of my graves has been dug up. You think you can do my job for me? Ah, these people taking my job.
Wow. Does he have a new Fox News special coming out?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't ask who the grave digger votes for.
Mabel is looking through papers at a security office and Theo's trying to get her to hurry up. And she's just feeling very pressured. So she takes a moment, goes outside, and Theo decides he just grabs all the papers and puts them in an empty garbage bag and folds it up and takes it outside, and she thanks him. Theo's ankle monitor starts beeping and he tells her that he needs to charge for an hour. Like, you didn't think of this before you left, but okay. So they do what any sane person would do and they find an outlet to charge in, which is what I do when my phone is dead. I find an outlet somewhere all the time. I'm constantly sitting on floors of weird places just trying to charge my phone.
Can I say something that might change your life, Melissa? Portable battery.
Yeah, no, why would I do that?
Yeah, no, or you can just scurry around to find outlets on floors, on Broadway stages, in hotel bathrooms, wherever you can find an outlet.
The hallway of the 14th Street. Why?
I was going to say the YMCA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I'm
young man, there's a place you can go.
There always. So they find an outlet outside. While they wait, Mabel plugs in some carnival games as well. Mm-hmm. So they play whack-a-mole. Mabel flashes back to her dad and her watching X-Files.
Which point towards me being Mabel. Fucking love X-Files. Rules. You seen that shit? It's so good.
I haven't, and I've been shamed for not seeing X-Files.
No shame. I think you would like it.
Oh, yeah.
Point for me being Mabel. I would sit on the floor with Mark Consuelos as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I agree with that.
Oh, shooting from the hip, I see, Tyler. Shooting from the hip.
Her dad is apologizing for not being able to take her to the zoo that day. And he says there's just been a lot going on at work. It sounds like he's making an excuse about being too tired. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
the alarm bells going off in my brain. Well, going back to Mabel and Theo are at a claw machine and he pulls out a ring. He's not doing well in the claw machine, so he just opens the machine up.
Which did not know you could do.
Yeah. Beware, Dave and Buster's.
That's right. Now we know. And
Dave and Buster's in this economy?
Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
With the busted Dave here. Is that anything? It's not, but it's silly.
It could be. Let's workshop it.
Yeah.
There you go. So He pulls out one of a little circle thing, which, by the way, a little circle thing and a claw machine, very difficult to grab with the claw.
Depending on the design of the claw.
Okay, true. Yeah. He opens it up, and inside is a little jewelry box. It turns out being a ring that looks like a plasticky version of the ring that Zoe had taken from the Demas house, which was like the centerpiece around that night where she fell from the building and died.
Which essentially is a clawful surprise.
Oh.
When did you come up with that one?
A couple minutes ago.
Okay, good.
Oh.
He says he replays that moment in his head every day. Did Zoe slip or did he push her? He doesn't know. So Mabel can't walk past the front gate without seeing Zoe's body. And she's worried that because she keeps losing time, that maybe she did stab Bunny. It's something, she says, it's something I would do. I just don't know if I did do it.
Mm.
And then after this big, long confession, she says, Theo says that he didn't get any of what she just said. And I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. So there's that. Right after that, his ankle monitor beeps. It's charged. And she says, I'm going to go to the bathroom and then we can go. Great.
And then you hear a bunch of grunting from the bathroom. Just trying to.
Why won't this passageway?
There's a lot of there's a lot of bathroom in this episode.
There's a lot of bathroom in this episode. But then we do get cut back to Charles and Oliver and Detective Williams and the baby. And Oliver, the baby starts crying. And Detective Williams is trying some solutions. And Oliver jumps in and says, hey, I would love to help. Can I make a suggestion? Have you heard of a chorus line? She's like, what in the world are you saying? So he says, so I used to do this with Will sometimes after a feeding. He'd have some tummy discomfort. So he lays a blanket out on the table and he puts baby Keith down and starts doing the kick line from chorus line one. And so he's doing that. And as he's moving baby's legs back and forth, baby lets out some gas and feels much better. And it's actually extremely cute and sweet.
It's also really apparent that Martin Short is actually a dad in this scene. It's like you really like, oh no, yeah, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's very good with
really sweet.
Good with him.
We back with Mabel in the bathroom, but she's washing her hands?
I think in that same sequence, they go and they agree. They go, excuse us, we're going to go to the bathroom. And they kind of go agree to grab the knife at the end of that sequence, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
William said that she's not trying to put Mabel away. She just wants to know the truth and solve the case. So they say, we need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Not to stereotype by gender, but I assume, Melissa, you have gone to the bathroom with, like, one of your women friends. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Have you? And Tyler, have you ever gone to the bathroom with someone like that?
You're opening up a whole can of worms. No, I have not. Like... The less interaction, the better. And like, there's one place that I can't stand an interaction with anybody. It's a bathroom. We all came here to do things in the privacy of a certain amount of space. And I will also, conversely, I will leave those like fucking troughs that they fucking give us dudes sometimes. Where it's like, there's no separation. Like, it's just like, pee in like this long ass sink on the floor, guys, and like, no thank you.
That probably contributes to the cultural phenomenon of women going to the bathroom together and not men, because we get our own stalls where we can do what we need to do in private, and then we can go in front of the mirror and have a chat if we need to.
I also feel as though it might be because, you know, you can fit more urinals than toilets in a bathroom, which is why men, quote unquote, don't take as long as women. It's just because you can't fit as many things in. It has nothing to do with stereotypes of gender per se. And I feel like, but sometimes because there's a longer wait in a women's restroom, going in a pair makes sense because that way you're not just like sitting there or standing there waiting to go in going, let me be alone with my thoughts, because nobody wants that.
No, famously, I hate being alone with my thoughts. I am famous for that.
Yeah, tis true.
Yeah. So they go into the bathroom and yes, they do decide to give Detective Williams the knife. Mabel, yes, has a flashback to, it's Halloween with her dad. She wants to go trick-or-treating as Mulder and Scully. He had promised. And at this point, he is visibly sick.
It's such a good costume. It's for a father-daughter. It would have been so cute.
It would have been very cute.
So sad.
But yeah, this the makeup work in this was, and costume was very clear, because as soon as he walked in, I'm like, oh, he has cancer. So that was familiar, unfortunately. But Mabel clearly doesn't know what's going on with her dad. They have not told her. So she's very angry. She doesn't want to do another stupid puzzle. She throws the puzzle that he is suggesting up in the air. She's upset, and understandably so. We cut back to Charles and Oliver giving Detective Williams the knife, and Detective Williams leaves, belting out one from Chorus Line and sounding amazing. And she says, like, I don't fucking know Chorus Line. She leaves.
It's so good. And then they cut to Oliver and Charles, and Oliver just goes, hilarious. It's so fun. It makes me feel as though that wasn't necessarily intended. I don't know. It's really good acting on Marty's part. Like, really, really fun stuff. Beautiful voice.
Yeah. It feels like something that they added. That moment felt like something that they added because of the actor who plays Detective Williams' ability. I bet she probably said something. And they said, oh, sure, yeah, do that. I don't know. It just has that that kind of impromptu quality to it, but very much still very of the show.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful moment. Very funny, too.
So we're back with Mabel, and she's washing her hands in the sink of the bathroom, and she sees the glitter. And it's like a pink-purple glitter. Was what was in the glitter bomb, and it's the same glitter.
A real Lisa Frank looking glitter.
Yeah, we'd love to see it. So she hears something, she looks around, she sees a bloody cloth in the trash can. She's realizing Glitter Guy is nearby. She hides in a locker, she sees Glitter Guy with her bag right out, you know, like right outside. He's right there, and she makes a little noise and he starts looking in the lockers.
Everybody got the grunties this episode.
There's so much grunting. So much grunting in this episode.
Not the grunties. The grunties does sound like Australian slang for diarrhea or constipation, rather.
It does. It's at, like, I don't know if it's British, but it's definitely like my man's slang for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the grunties.
Oh, no, he's got a bit of the grunties, doesn't he?
Oh, that's funny.
Very good. That's my dead on impression of your nan, by the way. I've just done.
It's famously Australian now.
Yeah, exactly. That was if you can imagine, perhaps the bit of a joke there.
So I'm telling that my grandmother was a prisoner.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, we're really
Australia. That's where we sent her, you know.
Yeah, famously for a while. Australia, big like, prison colony kind of deal.
Send them to the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful countries on the face of the planet with some of the
with eight out of the 10 things that can kill you.
What? Beautiful country, beautiful people, horrendously racist. You know, but it's bad when an American thinks another country is racist.
That's fair. Yes. So he's looking.
Apologize to all of our Australian listeners.
Unless you're racist, don't apologize to them.
Yeah, not to the racists. Don't apologize to the racists. So
never apologize to me.
He's looking through the lockers, and then she does the best possible thing, which is when he gets to the locker where she is, she opens it in his face, which is awesome. She grabs her bag and runs before he can get his bearings. She finds Theo outside, and they hide as Glitter Guy passes by. So they get into the car after he's gone, presumably. And Mabel finds that she has her cell phone in the bag that she's recovered, and she has like 35 missed calls from Charles and Oliver. She says that makes sense. And she finds out, unfortunately, that the matchbook, the evidence, is gone. Theo's dad is calling him, and he sends it to voicemail. And Mabel says her dad died of cancer when she was 7 years old. And stomach cancer, which is fast and furious, unfortunately. Her parents were trying to hide it from her. That's why he had moved out. And she says when he died was when she started losing memories. She talks about the puzzles again. The puzzles are a metaphor. And she feels like her life has had all the puzzles on the dark side. Like they don't, without the pictures. And if she doesn't flip them over now, she'll never see the full picture. So the puzzle from her dream starts floating up. We get this moment again, this like fantasy style moment. And she can see the moment with Bunny where she came into her apartment and saw Bunny. And you see that she has heard someone in her apartment. She goes to look for her knitting needle, which is gone. She turns around, and that's when she sees Bunny bleeding. And she realizes she did not stab Bunny. And she says this out loud to Theo. They pull up at the diner where Charles and Oliver are at a booth. Mabel thanks Theo in sign language, or she attempts to. What she really says is, thank you for stealing my fish. She says, did I do that right? And he gives her a thumbs up. And she says that she was wrong about him. Mabel gets out of the car, meets Charles and Oliver in the diner. They have a big hug, and Theo watches this and then calls his dad back. We find out that Glitter Guy had a picture of Charles and Lucy with him. Charles, immediately worried, calls Lucy, and she's at his place. And then everything goes dark. There's a blackout. And that is the end of the episode. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, for me, it got questions answered, certainly from the last episode, but it was a really big letdown for me in terms of like what I was hoping for based on like the momentum of last episode. Like I was hoping for like that same kind of high energy going into this, and it just wasn't. And it didn't need to be for what it was. It just wasn't what I wanted, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Do you have a rating?
Yes. A 3.
Oh.
3 stashes.
Okay. Tristan?
I would say it is about a 4, maybe a 4.5 for me. I really enjoyed this episode. I am realizing that our tastes seem to be what we look for in the show. I think might be different because I'm looking for gags. Sure. I'm looking for gags. I'm looking for cute outfits. I'm looking for bits. And that this, the jumpsuit Mabel's in her mind palace, incredible. Wonderful. Everyone looks stunning in this episode. A lot of laugh, made me laugh out loud quite a few times. As far as like the plot goes, yeah, it's fine. It'll happen when it happens. It's one of those things with like a season like this, is like it's hard to know whether or not I like the full mystery until we're like looking back at the whole season. So I try not to like get too hung up on that. Whereas like we're just watching an episode of Poirot. It's like I can immediately go, well, I don't think this is good, or I think this would have worked better, or blah, blah, blah. Whereas like this episode worked for me really well. The chemistry between Martin and Short is really, really great, specifically in this episode, I think. And Detective Williams is always a welcome sight. I wish I knew that actor's name, but yeah. And then I thought the puzzle piece stuff was really cool and a really interesting way and an interesting metaphor to explain post-traumatic stress. Because that's a very real thing that happens with people if you have enough trauma going on that your body just physically will not let you remember it unless you work really hard and hopefully safely with someone to unlock those repressed memories. With that being said, repressed memories are something that haunt me every night. I'm like, what don't I remember that I should? And that scares me as a concept.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say 4 to 5, 4.5 out of 5.
Real quick, I believe it's Divine Randolph Joy. No, who's Detective Williams?
Divine Joy Randolph. Yeah.
Divine Joy Randolph. Nominated this year for the Holdovers for the Academy.
Oh,
Award.
That is. Yeah, she's fantastic. Oh, okay. That was her. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yes. And by the way,
a Tony nominee for Best Featured Actress in a Musical for Ghost when that was a thing.
Oh, wow. Sure.
Good for
okay.
her. What a talent. Okay.
Wonderful. And James Caverly, by the way, plays Theo. Just mentioning him. He's also a stage actor as well. He also always does wonderful.
On this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. I love him as an actor, and I love Theo, actually. I mean, obviously, in the last season, we got him in kind of a different light, but the episode with that featured him was my favorite and is still my favorite episode of this entire series so far. However, that said, I really liked this episode. I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5 as well. I do agree that it was a bit of a dip from last episode as far as momentum is concerned. I think I'm finding out that they do like to do that. They like to take you down for a second before they bring you back up again. But I love getting the interactions between the characters. We really focused in on 5 characters in this episode. And that was super nice because we really got to dig deep. I don't necessarily, like Tristan does, need the bits and all of that, but I mean, they are certainly fun. I really enjoyed Martin Short as well, especially in this episode. I thought he did a great job. But the interactions between Mabel and Theo, that's some really good stuff. Mm-hmm. And finding out new things about people that, reassessing your assumptions about people and connecting in a different way. Good stuff. I like that. Like that a lot.
Do we want Theo and Mabel to kiss?
I don't know. It's not earned yet, at least, at the very least.
Yeah.
But
it's not earned, but do we want it? You don't want it at all, Tyler.
No. Less love, the better, in my opinion.
Okay. Cool and normal response.
I kind of do. But I often want people to kiss, so.
Okay, if you had to kiss, it can't be Selena Gomez because that seems to be the obvious answer. If you had to kiss one of these characters, who would it be and why? This seems like a bad prompt for a discussion. Again, they're the characters. They're not the actors playing the characters.
Oh, okay. From this episode in particular?
Sure, why not?
Oh,
geez. That's so many fewer.
The killer, because I don't know who it is.
And with that.
Yeah, we can't do better than that.
I now call the meeting of the amateur detective club to close. My name is Tristan Miller, the Saucy Slave.
Gavel sound from Tyler Riley, the federal body inspector.
Good night, everybody.